It's the KSL Movie Show.
If you don't have a good sense of humor, you're better off dead.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Doug Wright.
A great man doesn't seek to lead. He's called to it. And he answers.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You know, Steve, I was thinking of being a great leader and being called.
It's always dangerous, but yeah. Go ahead.
How did your call come to the movie show?
Oh, really? It was a carrier pigeon back then.
Oh, yeah. And it's been so long, I cannot remember. I think
maybe
I just,
drums.
I just kind of stumbled, you know. You just kind of walk in.
Are we waxing nostalgic today?
No, it was in the opening.
Oh,
so you weren't paying attention.
I wasn't. I was passing out napkins.
Here, play the opening again for Steve's benefit, the same one here. So it just caught my attention. Here we go. They're panicking back there going, oh, this show has an opening? Oh, it's on a rotator. Okay, well, that's a bad idea. Okay, it is.
You know, that's subtle.
But it talked about, you know, leaders. It's a calling.
Oh.
So the movie show is a calling.
Yeah, it's a calling, all right.
Yeah, it's certainly a call in. I can't decide. Okay, it is time for the movie show coming to you from Noble House.
Oh, yeah, I love this place.
Oh, isn't it amazing? And look what they're doing to me. This is one of my favorite pieces in the whole place.
Yeah, they're waiting for you to
pick it up. I tried to talk Dee into buying this, and she likes it, but not to the degree that I did. She had other
ideas.
Well,
don't you have a say?
I have no say.
That makes sense.
I have a little say in Eureka.
That actually checks out.
I have a little say in Eureka, but in our home here, no way. I'm merely the financier.
Well, you have a big old wall that could go up against.
I know. That's what I told her.
That could break up that whole.
I know. Meanwhile, back
with
the
Elvis painting on one side.
But this is, and the dogs playing poker over here.
Yeah,
you know,
it
would look so good. Good. Anyway, we are at Noble House. We love being here. We'll be talking with Angie Winchester coming up in a moment because the spring sale is here.
Ooh.
It's time to buy furniture.
Oh, boy, do I love furniture.
At Noble House.
Some of it.
Some of it. Okay, well, we'll dig into that. There's some deep psychological thing going on there. But we do have a movie show preview, which is sponsored.
Is that on a rotator?
We're on a rotator. At Call Climate Services, they're the sponsor of the movie show preview.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
The movie show special feature.
Okay, Scream 6. You know, they've moved on. Poor Westboro. They knocked the population down to the point where it's not even registered anymore. They're taking Westboro off the map.
It's a ghost town.
It's literally and figuratively. So they've moved on to New York. So we'll be talking about
that.
Well,
they can go forever in there.
Oh, they can go forever. I mean, you know, the city that never sleeps. And we're trying to figure out how many stabs it actually takes to kill somebody in that movie because it's over 3.
Well, the SPMs are pretty high. Stabs per minute.
Stabs per minute. Yep. So, you know, we'll talk about that.
The more, though, the less deadly they are. I think if it's too quick, it heals.
It heals.
Instantly.
Uh-huh.
Like a ninja.
I know. We're trying to figure this movie out. Then we're going to talk about 65.
Did you see this?
No, I did not.
Oh. You know how much I love Adam Driver, right?
Oh, yeah. He's a beautiful man.
He is a handsome man.
No, not handsome. You said beautiful.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
It describes it accurately, except for everybody's got to have that little floater once in a while.
Yeah.
This might be it.
This might be it, huh? Ooh. Okay, then Champions. You know, and we'll talk in much more detail about this movie, but when I was asked by the film rep when you walk out, I said, this is one of those movies that if you didn't like it, you'll probably be canceled from the roster of humanity.
It's like Kicking Lassie.
But it sure isn't a great, great movie, but it's cute.
Yeah, you can't pick on that movie.
Know,
it's a feel-good movie.
You can't. Or somebody will probably file a lawsuit,
like, what
too,
is wrong with you?
I know. So anyway, Champions, we'll talk about that. Luther, The Fallen Sun, S-U-N.
Yeah, so there's a series, Luther, with Idris Elba, and now they're making these little movies.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it is uber violent.
Ooh.
The British really go crazy sometimes.
Uber violent.
Uber violent.
I don't think you've ever used that term before.
Well, it's pretty out there.
How many stabs per minute?
No, this was much
worse than
much
stabs.
More horrifying, yeah.
Oh, no. Is this like, did they get the cocaine bear to star in this one?
Oh, no, the cocaine bear would be like, I'm not any part of this.
Ooh, this is too violent for me.
Yeah, the cocaine bear's out.
Ooh, The Quiet Girl is another film we'll look at.
Oh, this is an Irish film that I would love for it to win. Has no chance at all for the Academy Awards, but okay. Such a jewel from Ireland.
In which, is that like, because it's, well, there's been it's, that big debate, foreign or is it foreign language?
Well, there is an Irish Celtic language.
Oh, the Celtic, yeah.
And they, that's...
That's, I mean, what this is in?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that counts.
I think that's what it was. I'm like, wait a minute.
Okay.
I really need subtitles.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Magic Flute. The
Last,
Magic Flute.
Late ad. This is the same guy that did that amazing movie Moonfall.
Yeah.
Remember
oh,
that
oh,
piece
are
of crap?
You kidding me? Where the moon is crashing into the earth?
And it's made out, it's actually a spaceship?
Yeah. Oh,
sorry if we ruined that movie.
Oh, there you go. There's the big spoiler.
But you've got Mozart, you know, the opera, and then you have like this Harry Potter world that they try to mix it in with.
I was going
to
say, you know, Magic Flute.
That's kind of weird.
That's kind of sacred territory for musicians.
Well, yeah. No, the people that sing in this thing are like, you know, that ha-ha-ha song?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's in this. I'm like, oh, I kind of like that song.
You going to do a rendition of that?
Yeah.
It's the ha-ha song. Then we'll talk about some streaming movies as well.
Dude, we have so many cool streaming things.
So many streaming. Perry Mason. We've got The Planet That Disappeared, MH37.
I mean, look at my list. The Last of Us, the last episode of season one.
Yeah.
Poker Face. There's actually a 10th episode. I thought there was only 9 that came out.
So what? The one that I saw isn't the last one?
No. There's one
really?
More. Yeah.
I mean, this is when, you know, they're in the motel type thing. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. The snow mountain. That's not it.
That's not it.
There's one more.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, actually, that's good
And
news.
It brings in the voice that I told you about, and it is him.
Oh, wow. It's him.
It is him.
With a capital H.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What else have we got coming up? We have got movie news. We have the commish is going to join us. You know, and I'll tell you, do you know who's in mourning today? Because she's not going to be here, but she may join us on the phone. I'm not sure. Deanne. She loves it. As a matter of fact, when we talked to Angie.
Oh, I'm surprised she doesn't live here part-time.
Angie's taken over our home. You know, you walk through the front door, turn to your left.
Couch by Angie.
And then there's the couch by Angie. Then there's the side table by
Angie.
Well,
you want to get this by Angie.
This is cruel to put us right. Well, here, we'll get into that. So anyway, the movie show Top 10, we'll be talking about that. And, of course, telephone torture.
Yeah.
All of that, Steve, all jam-packed into
Plus, we should probably bring up the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about the Oscars. Do a little speculating.
Yeah. I have the will, the might, and the shoulds.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was mentioning one of the reasons, you know, of course, the commish is going to be here in person.
Oh.
Is because she loves being around, you know.
That's probably true, too.
It is absolutely true. Are you kidding me? All right. So there you have it. It's the movie show preview, which some people call a warning. You know. Okay.
Right in the middle of one of my shows, speaking of warnings, they decided to test the warning system.
Oh, don't you love that?
And it shuts off everything.
I know.
It even jumped into the stream. I'm like, how did they do that?
I know. Isn't that amazing? You're sitting there and you just go, and then all of a sudden, bam.
Like, could you?
Never mind.
You're going to be sleeping in the dughouse.
That's right. I'll be out in the dughouse in
we'll
the backyard.
We'll chat with Dee.
Exactly.
We'll work on that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, look at Angie. She's like, I got ways.
We have our ways.
No.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
The Big Movie Review is sponsored by Paris RV. Make every weekend a vacation with an RV from Paris RV. Okay, let's get a little sound from, Scream 6.
I had this secret. There's a darkness inside of me. It followed me here, and it's going to keep coming for us. We share a certain history. Hello?
Let's play a game.
You know you're like the 10th guy to try this, right? It never works out for the mask.
Maybe. But there's never been one like me, Gale.
Oh, man. Everybody is fair game. Nobody knows exactly who Ghostface is because, as we all know now, it isn't just one guy sometimes or one gal. It's a plethora of Ghostfaces. And when you have the Ghostface killings happening on Halloween weekend, in New York City. We've moved because Westboro has
He's going to have to work out because he's going to
Yeah, he's got a lot of people to kill there.
Yeah.
But decimated Westboro, so now we're in the Big Apple. And, oh, my goodness. And, you know, the cool thing is part of it happened in an old theater where there is a shrine, we find, that is made. But who put it together, the shrine? And what's
the
deal?
To me, that's part of the problem because they're relying on all these old props that they used in the old movies.
And I like the fact that it's in a movie theater.
Yeah, no, that was cool.
Yeah, that is cool. But anyway, the bottom line is, you know, do you know what I got a kick out of was seeing little Jenna Ortega in the movie after we're all in love with her as Wednesday.
Right.
And to see her in this role along with Melissa Barrera, there was some real charm there, and I appreciated that. You know, Courtney Cox is back, you know.
But not Neve Campbell.
Not Neve Campbell, although they allude to her.
Yeah, she went off hiding.
Yeah, she's off hiding.
Because she didn't get
somewhere.
Her money. That's what the problem was.
That's right. Couldn't strike the right kind of deal. You know, the bottom line is, if you like the Stab movies, or Scream as we know them, you know, you'll probably like this. I was surprised I liked it as much as I did. It's not great.
I was surprised you were there.
Yeah, but it was.
And D was there.
So, you know, but I think it was the characters. I think it was watching the actors and seeing kind of a new crop come in. And, you know, as we well learn, and one major character learns this in this movie too, if you're a legacy character, it don't matter.
Oh, yeah, they go through the rules.
Yeah.
Once you get to this deep into the franchise.
But you pointed this out. How many times do you have to be stabbed because until you're really down and dead?
Or as they say in the guys that... Oh, anyway, is this not really, really dead.
Oh, yeah, really, really dead. Yeah, so what's your grade on this one, Stephen?
Well, it's probably a B- because I don't really care for these films, but I think that the audience that has been following all these movies, which I've seen them all, this is actually probably not one of the better ones, but it still will carry the franchise on into the future,
I'm kind of a B-, C+. On this one, but it was fun to sit back and watch the new environs. It was fun not to be in old Westboro again. It was, you know, as I mentioned, some of the young and up and coming actors who are now getting stabbed. It's a lot of fun to see them bite the dust.
Well, actually, the more you get stabbed, the more likely you are to survive.
That's true.
That's the other thing I thought was weird.
However,
they poked holes in that one kid.
If you get the one where it goes in, and then the twist. And then the rip up.
Well, that should work.
Those guys usually don't survive.
Well, who knows? I mean, they poked Gail.
Oh, man. Did she ever get it? So there you have it. It's Scream 6. I'm wondering when they're going to be moving on to Salt Lake City.
You know, well, it's only a matter of time.
They wipe out New York.
They'll just move west.
They'll just start moving west. So anyway, it is the big movie of the week, and it is Scream 6, and it's rated R.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Stephen, I think it's time for a little movie news.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news.
Action!
On the KSL Movie Show.
Okay. Goldie Hawn.
Oh, yeah.
She does not like the fact that Overboard was remade.
Ooh.
Yeah, and she is adamant about it. The new Overboard, I mean, it was a success when it came out in the box office. You know, it made $91 million on a $12 million budget. You know, for most of We Mere Mortals, that's a pretty good return. But it was pummeled with bad reviews. Although you and I, we softened on a little bit. I kind of like that movie.
Eugenio Derbez and Anna Faris, they were fun.
So anyway, but it's a 24% rotten rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
But Goldie Hawn also feels the film should not have been remade in the first place. And she is no fan of remakes in particular. This isn't just her little pride and joy. Yeah. She doesn't like the idea. This is how she put it. Overboard was really perfect as it was. Very rarely does a remake match the actual original film. So I'm not a fan of remakes, period.
In that same interview, I think she said that she felt bad that she wasn't there to accept her Oscar.
Yeah.
Was that a thing? Was it Private Benjamin that she won for?
I think so.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
So we were just talking about Jenna Ortega. Well, get this.
Yeah.
They have now decided to, they finally, after all these years, to do a Beetlejuice 2.
Really?
Yeah. Now, they did one back in the 90s, and they had a cartoon version. It was stupid.
Yeah.
But it looks like Jenna Ortega might play. Remember, Lydia Deetz was, what's her face? Winona Ryder.
Right.
She's the one that's flying through the air singing Banana Song. Well, her daughter could be and might be played by Jenna Ortega. Michael Keaton is back.
Wow.
Tim Burton will direct.
Yeah.
And Winona Ryder says she's on board, and as well as Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, Catherine O'Hara is still, you know, doing tons of stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're all very popular, doing crazy stuff. So
okay.
That could happen. It's still unconfirmed, but it looks like it's going to happen.
Should be great in that.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Okay, Creed 3. Why has it been pulled from some European cinemas? It sparked real-life fights. What is wrong with those people?
What?
Uh-huh. This is
Rocky didn't do it?
There are viral, you know, videos of two women fighting in a French cinema, and this has resulted in screenings of the movie being evacuated.
What?
Others being completely canceled, theater chains claiming they can't guarantee the safety of the audiences. Around a dozen screenings of the movie reportedly have seen small numbers of audience members. I mean, it hasn't turned into a full riot, but they start decking each other.
That sounds like a publicity stunt.
It almost sounds like the old movie Matinee, where, you know, hey, let's protest this. Let's have people faint. Let's have people carried out on stretchers because it's so terrifying.
Right.
But I don't know. It's who knows?
Could be.
Huh? Strange.
Well, it's common knowledge that the that Pedro Pascal, the Mandalorian, and Joel from The Last of Us has a huge man crush on Nicolas Cage. So somebody recently asked him what his favorite Nicolas Cage movies were.
Yes.
And I thought it would be like maybe Pig or Mandy.
Yeah.
He went old school. He said, my favorite are Raising Arizona, Peggy Sue Got Married, Face Off.
Face Off I didn't and like.
And Moonstruck. And then he added one more, which I hadn't thought of. Adaptation.
Oh, really? I would have said Guarding Tess.
Guarding Tess would have been a great one.
Yeah. I really like that movie.
Oh, that's cool. That was on the other day. Just kind of poked at it.
Nicolas Cage is an amazing actor. You know, sometimes I just go, and I, like I said, when I saw the trailer for Renfield.
Yeah, I just saw
I'm
it
just
too.
Gone, I don't know if I'm going to like this movie or not, but anyway.
Well, he really wants to sink his teeth into a real Dracula movie later on because he thought that was fun.
George of the Jungle was made at a time when not everything came with a warning message. But apparently, every time Brandon Fraser is talking to, you know, there's a lot of stuff on Brandon Fraser right now. I think it's just because of the whale and different things that he's done. But people come up to him and go, I, you know, my kids love George of the Jungle, but.
But what?
And do you know what it is?
Because he took his shirt off?
Nope. The children, apparently a lot of kids, attempted to copy his title character's habit for slamming into trees and swinging into trees. And this is an actual quote from Fraser. He said, for a while there, parents were stopping me going, oh, man, I really loved your George of the Jungle. It was such a great movie, but I have a bone to pick with you. My kid got 8 stitches because of you. And Fraser says, you know, I slammed into rubber trees. You know, when you saw me swing and I hit the tree, it was
stunt
rubber.
Dude. Come on, people. Are we really that dumb now?
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing just how dumb people are?
It feels like that movie Idiocracy is happening all over again.
Well, remember, like the Jackass movies, they have to go, do not attempt this. These, you know.
Oh, by the way, in that new, there's a new streaming thing called, and I didn't know it was related to Mel Brooks, but it's the, you know, History of the World.
Yeah.
Part 2.
Yeah.
He has a whole series called Jack Rasp. And it's Rasputin getting punked by his idiot friends. And I mean, they're little vignettes like the original movie was, but it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Mel is...
He's in his 90s, and he's still doing, you know, flatulent jokes.
Yeah, I know. He is amazing. He's like the last vaudevillian.
Yeah.
You know, he really is
exactly
the last of that old, you know.
Classic.
Here, take my wife, please.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, a crazy guy, yeah. Anything else?
Nope.
That's it.
Yep.
All right. On that note, you know, you can't end on a better note than Mel Brooks.
Oh, I love Mel Brooks.
I do too. Boy, even real.
Can you imagine trying to do Blazing Saddles now?
But, you know, I still watch it and I still laugh myself silly. And I go, you know, if you choose to look at what he's saying, the people who are bigots and people who do these things are morons.
Yeah.
You know, then it...
Punching horses is a bad idea.
But, but everybody loves to take offense.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
Wow. New intros everywhere.
You disparage the donut?
Well, you know, we
by
don't.
Equating it to our show?
Probably. Well, and why wouldn't they? Donuts are so closely associated with what we do.
That's true.
And we do so uniquely.
We used to have a proud sponsor of donuts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Stephen, let's take a look at a movie.
Okay.
Which one should we do here? Maybe just kind of a...
We can do the magic flute here pretty
easy. Let's do the magic flute. Here we go.
Where did you go last night?
Do you believe me?
Do I believe that a clock in the school is a portal into Mozart's beloved masterpiece? No.
What are you doing back there?
I have no idea where I am.
The young prince. Bring back my beloved daughter.
Are you going to do the little ha ha ha?
No, she did it. I think she covered it.
Well, I don't know.
I'd hurt myself.
Yeah, right. And you'd hurt all of us.
Okay, so the idea is that they'd want to create sort of a Harry Potter world and mix it in with the magic flute. So the kid is coming to this new school, you know, okay. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But then they call him, you know, oh, you're... Then he goes to this bookshelf like yours, except he puts a book in that his dad had that he says, oh, you need to return this book. But it really is the key to opening a portal. The thing turns, he ends up in this other world, and it's the world of the magic flute.
So this is like going through, what is it, the railroad station 9 1/2 or whatever.
Yeah, or the back of the armoire in the wardrobe movie.
Okay.
So he's in another world, he's a big serpent. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. There's these three women that are like, we need to take you to our queen. She assigns him to go rescue the princess. So all that's going on. Then they come back to the Harry Potter world, and he's enchanted by this young woman there, and it keeps going back and forth instead of maybe starting at the beginning and going into magic flute world and then coming out at the end. They're going back and forth, so the tonal shifts are kind of annoying, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's weird when all of a sudden they start, I mean, they sing through the whole thing, obviously, because it's Mozart's opera. That seems fair.
Right.
But they even sing on the other side. So you have, like, the Jackson 5, I'll Be There, one moment, and the next moment you've got, you know, them doing the magic flute stuff. So I was like, what? I'm getting whiplash in this movie. I don't know. Maybe a C+ for the magic flute. It is in theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's rated PG. I mean, there's some cool special effects. I don't mean to pick on it too much, but it's just the tone shifts were staggering.
Okay. So, but in theaters.
In theaters, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Well, on that note, we probably ought to take a break. Oh, the commish just got here.
Dan Hutt.
We have to pay attention and be on our best behavior. I mean, we have the...
Since when?
Commissioner of the Utah State Film Commission here.
I know.
You know. Wow.
The movie. It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Stephen, are you going to put your microphone on?
Nah. We're talking about Amangiri.
Well, if you'd listen to the promo, there's a new break. It says the world famous movie show.
Well, that might be a little thin.
You know, we have a real good PR guy. What can I say, you know?
Yeah.
Works for peanuts.
Hyperbolic.
Literally. Okay. Hey, we are here with the commish from the Utah State Film Commission. This is another honor to have you here.
I mean, it's crazy. It's once a month.
I know.
Does it feel like every other day?
It feels like a little too much.
She wakes up and goes, oh, do I
this again?
These guys. We really appreciate you bringing everybody up to speed on what's happening here in the state of Utah. You know, with the legislative session now in the rearview mirror, how did we fare when it comes to tourism, when it comes to the movie industry?
Did they show you the money?
I think they didn't take any money away, so that's a good thing, right?
do no harm, right?
Yeah. That's the approach we took.
Yeah, the Hippocratic Oath, you know, first do no harm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, we got things cooking in the state of Utah.
I know. There's a lot happening. This is always the time of year where I just feel like our days are so busy right now because everyone's ramping up for spring and summer production, and so we've just got lots of people calling and finding out, you know, can we pull this off and where would we shoot this and what do you have? And it's funny this year People are like, do you think that we could still find snow in April? I'm like, actually,
I think
yeah.
there's a good chance.
I think we're good this year.
Might be
not,
too much.
Not every year. But
No, there's a real good chance of finding some substantial snow. I mean, we're getting substantial snow today.
I know.
Up in the mountains.
I know. Yeah. Actually, one of the films that we just approved yesterday, A Tree Fell in the Woods, was one of those films that called and said, we need, you know, cabin in the woods. It needs to have snow. We're thinking about shooting in April. Like, what do you think? And we're like, oh, yeah, that'll be possible.
We can do that.
It's super. I'm excited for this one. It's got just a killer cast. It's Sundance producer Lynette Howell and Sam Houseman, and they have done so many fantastic indies and some that aren't so indie, like Star is Born.
Right.
And just incredible repertoire, and they haven't ever shot in Utah, so I'm excited about that.
Do you have any background on the movie? What genre it's going to be
It's in? It's two couples in the go on a vacation, a cabin in the woods, and they're all friends and have been friends for a long time. And two of them, the husband from one and the wife from another couple, go out for a hike and come back and see something.
Ooh. Oops.
That they
Ooh.
Didn't want to see.
Really?
And interesting conversations.
Wow.
Ensue.
Do you know who the cast is, or can you say?
I do know who the cast is, and I forgot to ask if it was okay to release. I will just say they are coming from shows like Emily in Paris, The White Lotus, Hamilton.
Really?
Frozen.
Wow.
Animated Frozen. Wow.
Now she's got the, curiosity flowing.
Yeah. It's a really cool cast. So, and I think it'll be a really, it feels very Sundance-y. I'm sure it will end up there next year.
That is cool. And it's called A Tree Fell in the Woods.
Yep.
What about the new thriller, Image of You?
Image of You, yes. This will be fun. This is coming from the producers of Lindsay Lohan's Falling for Christmas.
Uh-huh. Is Lindsay Lohan going to be in this?
No. I don't think so. And this is about a pair of twin women, who are not what they appear. And this is definitely a thriller. So.
Not what they appear.
Yes.
Well, there's a teaser for you. Mm-hmm. And what else have we got?
And then we have The Chosen Season 4, which we always love having them in the state. And what I've loved about watching them grow, both as a show and as a presence in Utah, is they keep doing more in Utah. So every time they come back, first they were just shooting a couple of days at Goshen. Then they were doing a week. And now they're really, they're here. Their footprint's much bigger. And they are already talking about next season and how they're kind of writing for Utah. Yeah. So,
every time I come down from Eureka, first of all, we have someone in Eureka who kind of works down there. And sometimes he'll be the guy there that's overnight to make sure that everything's okay. And other times he's a little more engaged in it. And when you come down, you see the big green wall is what everybody calls it. I have never been to the movies.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah, I haven't.
I think that you should come out on a set visit.
That would be really cool. I'd love just to see it.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And for radio listeners that don't know what we're talking about, there
then
is.
We could swing on down to
Eureka.
St. George.
St. George.
For what
What's
could,
happening in St. George?
What could possibly be happening in St. George?
When does that start up? This summer?
That starts there in April.
Oh.
Yeah, first part of April. They're getting
started. Can you tell us? Because we've heard the news stories.
And that is Horizon Part 2, which, of course, is Kevin Costner's opus.
2 and 3, isn't it? No.
2 and 3, yeah, that's what they're saying. And they're based mostly in Washington County. They're going to go back up to Grand County. I think they're going to bleed out into some of the other counties around there.
Wow.
I know he's looked at a lot of locations and has found some beautiful things. So
that's really
great
cool.
to have
cool.
him. He's super excited to be back in Utah. Of course, we're talking about
Kevin Costner.
And he's just been an amazing partner, really has. He's put his money where his mouth was. He's really talked about spending locally, getting to know the people, and doing, good work in all these communities, and he's doing it.
Now, he hasn't gotten to know the movie show yet.
He hasn't. We haven't gotten him on the movie
Can you
show.
Just bring him along with you one day? I mean, come on. It'd just be a phone call.
Where are we going? Oh, just for a snack.
Yeah. We're going
I think there are donuts.
I know where there are free donuts, and he'd be right here.
We'll give it a go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good luck.
You know, I didn't feel a lot of confidence in that statement. What else is happening in the state? As if this isn't enough. I mean, you know, we just talked about some pretty cool things.
Christmas.
I know. No Christmas. Christmas is summer.
Of course it is.
Why not?
Yeah. I think we were just talking before we came on the air, the Eugene Levy series, The Reluctant Traveler, is on Apple TV right now. And it's such a fun series. Eugene, of course, longtime character actor.
Amazing. I love him.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. And I love the interview I saw with him where they approached him about a travel show. And he was like, well, I don't know why I would do that. I hate being cold. I hate being hot. I hate leaving my house. I hate, you know, all these things. And they were like, okay, those are the first four episodes.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I've happened to see all of the episodes. And one cool thing, he stays at the most amazing five-star everything.
Yeah.
And he's reluctant to do anything. And yet they drag him out to do stuff. So the Utah one, he's riding a horse. And
yeah, so he's in, I think it's episode 4. He comes to Utah, in southern Utah. He's mostly, they stay at Amangiri, for those of you who
see, I didn't even know what that was.
About Amangiri, it is very, very fancy.
You're saying the Kardashians stay there.
The Kardashians stay there. Mere mortals like us.
But it's a minimalist kind of place. It's all like...
It's
cement
gorgeous.
And the views are spectacular.
And they still charge a gazillion dollars a night for that?
I think so. Huh. I think you get what you pay for in that
scenario. But for you, Doug, I'm sure they'd make you a deal.
Oh, yeah, they make me a deal. They charge me more.
But the Navajo angle was really sweet in this. He goes to spend an evening with the Navajo family, and they really sort of, you know, educate him about their culture and their spirituality. And he came away from that, the Utah thing, completely... like a changed man. I thought it was pretty bizarre. But
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great show.
But was he cold?
Well, he was cold in Finland. That's the first episode. That's the one I watched. It was also hilarious. The little six-year-old boy who wanted nothing to do with him. Was like,
oh, no, he was a
catching,
snot.
You know, 10 fish to every one that Eugene caught. Was awesome.
Yeah.
Very funny.
So how long is this going to run? How many episodes have you heard on?
Which one?
The Reluctant?
Oh, I think it's 8 or 9.
Yeah,
eight.
I think it's just a short series, and it's only one in Utah, but we were excited to get a
piece
they're, of
it. I mean, in Finland, South Africa.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh, they're South Africa.
Actually, Utah might be the only U.S. destination.
It is. Yeah.
I wonder how they chose that. You might know the story.
It is gorgeous down there.
Oh, yeah.
It is beautiful.
I don't know anything about the resort, but I know a little bit
the
about
area.
That part of the
state.
Well,
he went through the Narrows, and you know, you see a lot more than just Amangiri stuff.
It's so unique down there. I mean,
absolutely,
sure.
It's a beautiful postcard for Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that we need to be aware of on the horizon? We have the Zion Film Festival that is just around the corner, and
that's
a few things
next week, right?
Yeah,
they're doing some great things. There's a lot of really fun film festivals. The Wasatch Mountain Film Festival is coming up in a couple of months. And they've got so many cool things planned. So, lots
very
happening.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. You're just catching your breath after the legislative session and everything else going on. And
I know.
She always makes time for the movie show.
Would your driver like a donut on your way home?
My driver. My driver is my amazing office manager at Workforce Development. We're very busy today. We're on our way down to Provo for a set visit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming by.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you.
We really do look forward to this every month.
I know you don't, but we love it.
Yeah, that's right. I know. For you, it's
I'm the reluctant
traveler.
Guest, right?
Ooh, that'll be the reluctant interview. And the movie show always comes up. That's the one we don't want to do.
Yeah.
It's fun to have you here.
Yeah, nice to see you guys.
Hey, thanks, Virginia.
Yeah.
All right, Virginia Pierce, the commish, deigning to join us here.
Not really on the way to Provo, but
not really on the way to Provo.
We are
but
grateful.
We figured you just came up because of Noble House and the cool furniture.
The movie show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done
on KSL News Radio.
All right, Stephen, we need to review another movie.
Okay.
How about if we do 65? Here we go, 65.
My name is Mills. I was the pilot of the ship. We've crash landed on an uncharted planet. We are the only survivors. I don't know where we are, but there's something out there, something alien.
That's never a good sign when there's something out there, something alien.
Well, that definitely sounds sinister, but I can pretty much categorize this movie as The Mandalorian Goes to the Real Jurassic Park.
Really?
Yeah. So Adam Driver.
I've seen the trailers on this because there are lots of dinosaurs looking
things. Yeah,
there are
lots of dinosaurs. Yeah. All kinds of crazy. So somehow we're on a futuristic world, and he is a pilot that's being assigned to a two-year mission where he's got to take all these people. Remember that movie Passengers where everybody's in cryo sleep?
Cubs. In little whatever.
Well, so he's, you know, still awake, and he's supposed to pilot the ship for a year and then come back. And the reason he's doing it is because his daughter is really sick and needs some serious medical attention, and it's going to cost a fortune. And so he's taken this 2 years away from his family to take care of his daughter. Well, okay. So halfway there, somewhere on the way, they hit a meteor shower, and an unexpected one. He's trying to get around it and whatnot, and they don't. And they end up crash landing on this planet. But then here's the stupid part.
You sure this isn't like Buzz Lightyear?
Well, it kind of does have that feel, doesn't it? Except that it says Earth.
Earth, oh.
So they give it away at the beginning of the movie.
Time travel.
I'm like, why didn't you do it like... You know, like Planet of the Apes, like, doggone you killed the...
Yeah, he doesn't say doggone.
I know, I just cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's there, and all the pods are screwed up, except one that's out in the woods, and there's a little faint little beep, and it's a young 9-year-old girl who survives, but she doesn't speak English. She speaks some kind of, you know, whatever, paddywhack kind of language. And they don't... But she's really quick. I mean, it's pretty obvious that she's either brilliant or she already knows English because she's picking up words left and right. He's telling her that there's part of the ship ended up about 15 miles away, and it has the escape pod in it where they need to get to, and that he tells her that's where your family is waiting for you, even though he knows that they're not there.
Well, I mean, that ain't right.
I know. So that's part of the, that might be one of the mysteries. But, you know, Adam Driver, he was a military guy before he became an actor, so he's pretty good at the whole gun thing.
Yeah.
But they get into some weird... You can tell the budget's not very... It's $45 million budget, which seems like a lot, but for a movie with dinosaurs and stuff, that probably ate up most of the budget. And then there's some weird moments where, you know, they're upside down, but the dinosaur kicks them up right side up. Like, well, that was convenient.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love Adam Driver. I've told you 1,000 times, but this is not his best movie. He's trying hard, but the script's not there. You know, it's got a sweetness to it. I mean, a guy and a little girl trying to get to a safe haven and get out of there. But
even though he's lying about the family.
Yeah, he has to come clean about that, and, you know, she gets pretty upset about that. And that part of it, that's what makes it good and watchable. But for the most part, it's pretty ho-hum. I was kind of
disappointed. What's the grade?
Maybe a... C it's plus, a, B minus, where'd I go here? I gave it a C plus. I was in a bad mood last night. It's PG-13. It's only 93 minutes, and it's in wide release. Because, you know you're going to go because it's Adam Driver, but, boy, this is not one of his better films.
Okay, and it's titled 65.
Which is referring to 65 million years ago, which, by the way, is when the... So that's part of the drama as well, because the big meteor is coming to...
To wipe
out
the dinosaurs.
Put a big dent in Earth.
Yeah.
And can they get off the planet in time? Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, it's 65.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
Nor have you, Doctor. As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
Okay, Steve, I think it's time for a little streaming news. Not screaming. Streaming. News. Here we go.
Planning on a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Steve, you spend every weekend on the couch, don't you? And the bill for the therapy is quite expensive.
Not if you're on the couch.
I'll see you go to the therapist and you're on
that couch. No,
that couch. So you binge instead of doing that.
That's my therapy, yes.
All right, all right. Okay, here we go. Jonathan Majors to produce and star in The Understudy for Amazon Studios. And apparently, only 3 months into 2023, Majors has already starred in a bunch of features, including Creed 3 and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and he's going to star and produce in the upcoming feature, The Understudy, a classic tale, Steve. of life imitating art in a twisted way after an understudy for a Broadway production finds a role worth killing for.
He's becoming one of my favorite young actors. And he also did a movie at Sundance where he plays a bodybuilder at Venice Beach who gets in mixed up with some stuff.
Spike Lee, by the way. They're talking about him directing this. And Majors and Lee did work together on the war drama Da Five Bloods.
Oh, cool.
So there you go.
Those of you who are fans of Shrinking, the Harrison Ford, Jason Segel show,
I'm a fan.
It has been approved for a second season.
Good, good.
So that's in the works for Apple TV Plus. Ted Lasso starts on Wednesday. You'll get the first episode, I believe. There are 12 in this third season, and it's what I've seen so far is pretty good. Wednesday is also the day for Mandalorian. So if you're a fan of the Mandalorian series, Wednesday, although the second episode was kind of
really
meh. Huh. So we got the next episode coming up. Poker Face, I mentioned last week, I thought it was the last episode.
I thought it was the last one. We watched it as if it were the last episode.
I lied to you. Apparently there is a 10th. Well, there is, because I watched it yesterday. A 10th and final episode from season one, and it is spectacular.
Wow. Poker Face has really been a surprise. I think if there's kind of that out of the blue, wow, I really like this, and it's Poker Face.
Can I mention a couple more things?
Well, yeah.
Puss in Boots, The Last Witch.
Yeah.
Peacock, beginning today.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Like this weekend, if you want to watch Puss
in
Boots and didn't see it.
That's the way it should be. You know, have it in the theaters, have everybody enjoy it.
It will mention how much money it made here in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's still in the top 10 and everything else. By the time, make it the big hit in the theaters and then stream it and make even more money.
Exactly. Now, the other thing, Perry Mason, season 2, that's Monday nights on HBO Max. Then I mentioned that they did a little three-part series on the Malaysian Air 370, the one that disappeared. Yeah. It's really good. It's just an hour each. But the thing that bugs me is that we still don't know what happened to the plane. But they go through extremely accurate details about everything leading up to it. Except then they throw in some of the theories of what happened.
Yeah.
Because they said they wanted to make it so that all audiences would appreciate it. So there's that. And then The Last of Us, Sunday night, opposite, by the way, the Oscars. They don't care.
They don't care.
Their audience is that strong. Although Pedro Pascal is going to be handing out an award at the Oscars while he's on HBO.
Well, and here's the headline on The Last of Us, the shortest runtime of the season.
No.
So, The Last of Us brings its first season to a close this Sunday, but fans need to prepare for a shorter finale.
That's not going to work.
Than was expected.
How short are we talking?
They don't actually give the number here.
Because they're usually in the 48 to 50, 52.
They said, somewhere this is going to be like around 46, I think.
Oh, okay.
Something. So it's not like a half hour or something. Okay. But after 8 episodes, the climax will be bold. It will be brutal. And it will be the shortest episode of the series.
And I heard Bella Ramsey, who plays the young girl, said it's going to be divisive for the audience.
Or for the sophisticates, it will be divisive.
Well, maybe.
Either or either is correct.
Potato, potato.
Exactly. Tomato, tomato. Well, there you have it. It is the streaming news, as you will only hear it here on the movie
show. Out of all that, all I really want to see is the new Puss in Boots.
I want to see Ted Lasso.
Oh, that's good. You know what? Starting Wednesday.
I'm so looking forward to Ted Lasso. You know, a couple of years ago, that was the thing. You know, the kind of like Poker Face this time.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso just blew me out of the water. So surprised.
It's still very good. I've seen the first four episodes.
And is this definitively going to be the last season?
That's an excellent question.
Because I've heard rumblings, maybe not.
The way they're setting this up, this could be the last season. Okay. I don't think that Jason wants to go much further.
You and I have been talking. There is a fine art to ending on the high note.
Yeah, exactly.
And not just going, oh, geez, are they doing another season?
Exactly.
Oh, crap. All right. There you have it, the streaming news at KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, the actor?
On KSL News Radio.
You know, I'm going to ask Jim to put the headset on, Jim. You know, in the last couple of days, I had lunch with my dear friend Ken Macy the other day.
I miss him.
And into Noble House walks Jim Huffman. Now, what are the two combining factors there? The two original major sponsors of the movie show back a bazillion years ago.
In the 80s.
Yeah, it was Huffburn Motors out in Tooele.
Yeah.
And then Ken Macy with the Macy's Food Stores. They were the two first and major sponsors of the movie show. Jim,
is that when we were
see?
In black and white? Or?
Oh, we were. It was silent.
So, oh, well, yeah, that's it was on the radio.
It was not only black and white. It was a silent movie show on the radio.
That's impressive.
Jim, it's so good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you.
Yeah, you know, if it wasn't for you and Ken Macy, I don't know where the movie show and where, you know, if it would have ever even
he's coming in for his residuals.
Taken off. Yeah, so you came in for your check. Jim, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. I listen to this every day. I mean, every Friday.
Is it punishment for you, or have you been sentenced?
You've literally run out of stuff to do.
That's huh? right. The cops up here got him one day and said, okay, you have to listen to the movie show every Friday. You know.
Well, my wife listens to KSL every day.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's.
Well, Jim, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you.
I really appreciate you dropping by, and sincerely, this guy and, you know, with Ken, Huffburn Motors and then with Ken Macy, you know, they were
Moose Macy.
They were the originals.
Yeah.
Have you ever lived it down?
The stupidest thing I ever did was sell the Ford store.
Hey, there you go. You know, no kidding. Plus, you know, he was a car dealer here in
Bountiful
for a while. We bought my mom bought a car. We bought a car and everything. Jim, it's so good to see you. Thank
good
you.
To see you.
Thank you for joining us here on the movie show. He really is. He's one of the founding fathers on the, you know, financial side, the sponsor side.
Probably doesn't list it on his resume, but okay.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't mention that anywhere.
In polite company.
Anybody in polite company, of course. All right, Stephen.
Sir.
I think it's time for the movie show top 10.
Well, thanks for the warning. Run, Jim, run.
Here we go. No. This is a kinder version.
The KSL movie show.
Oh.
Top 10. Five, four,
don't tell me you're disappointed. See, that's the little homage.
Well, I can do the goat anytime. You miss the horse.
You miss the
anybody
horse?
Anybody else miss the horse?
Well, if there's, you know, if there's a groundswell and a lot of cash involved, you know. The movie show top 10.
What, they wouldn't pay you enough to
the movie show.
Embarrass yourself?
Well, you know, we're in polite company.
Today.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, we're certainly not. The movie show top 10 is sponsored by Call Climate Services. They're just up the road a piece in
right
Centerville.
Here.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to say anything about the fact that they rescued you and finally saved you.
I worship at the altar of Call Climate. That's how good they are.
Saved you from the whatever it was you were doing. You were like
freezing.
You were like in a vortex of cold.
Yeah, it was just this one little weird little thing in a furnace that nobody looks for, and then they found it.
There you go. All right. Hey, number 10 on the movie show, that's called Climate Services, by the way. Number 10 is 80 for Brady, and it's just barely hanging on to the top 10. It's it's been out 5 weeks. Number 10, it's made about $39 million. Anybody outside the country seeing this?
No. Nobody.
Okay. And
bye-bye, Mr. Brady, that's the last we'll see of him.
Magic Mike's Last Dance, we can only pray that it is. This has not done well at all. It's just barely cracked, you know, what, $26 million here.
But it has fan base overseas. It's another $28 million, so it's at $53 total.
Uh-huh. I wonder what the budget was on that.
It had to be pretty high because you could Salma Hayek
in. Yeah, exactly.
Filming in England.
All right, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. We were talking about this and the fact that you'll be able to watch it on streaming here pretty
Peacock,
quick.
Peacock, today.
This is perfect. It's been out 11 weeks. A chance for everybody to see it on the big screen the way it should be seen. It's made about $178, $79 million. And now stream it.
Yeah, this overall has made almost $500 million in theater. Now, how is that possible for a little animated movie? It's because it's really, really,
really,
really good. If you haven't seen Puss in Boots, it's probably my favorite of the Shrek movies.
I really, really liked that movie a lot. The creativity in it is just amazing. The voice talent is incredible.
And the nine lives.
Yeah. Operation Fortune. This is the number 7 movie, out 1 week. I don't even know what it is. Made a little over $3 million.
Yeah, but it's done 31 overseas. That's weird. So it's at 35.
And we're going to have to smoke this here. Okay. Avatar, we've talked about this ad nauseum. It's been out 12 weeks. It's still right in the middle of the top 10, killing everything. We've got Jesus Revolution, which is kind of a fun little movie.
Better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, me too. And then number 4 is Demon Slayer.
This is an anime movie, and they've been making them forever, and the fans are going crazy on it. So.
And then there's Cocaine Bear. There is just no way to adequately describe Cocaine Bear, but I have to admit, I did laugh. I did like it, and it is so violent.
But it's cartoonishly violent.
All right, and it's made about $42 million. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Well, I'll tell you, the Disney folks, I heard the story today where they're going, you know, we're disappointed by the return on this, and boy, it's down to $12 million. I mean, it's just dropping like a rock.
I mean, the second week was the biggest drop of any of the MCU movies.
So, you know, already Iger is saying, hey, we got to come up with new characters. So
The mistake. Go back.
I know.
Resurrect Iron Man.
I know. Number 1 is Creed 3, out for 1 week, about $60 million.
What are 68 domestic, 43 foreign. It's a hit. $111 million. They did it without Rocky, and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, good on them.
It's making good money.
B-Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show. We're in the final hour of the Movie Show, coming to you from Noble House right here in Bountiful. And just beautiful furniture. We are just surrounded by incredible things. We'll be talking more with Angie in just a moment. Dee will be joining us momentarily with her quirky picks of the week. But, Steve, we probably ought to review another movie.
Okay.
Should we do Champions?
Yeah,
here?
I was thinking that.
All right, here's Champions.
Remember Marcus Markovich? Well, he got fired.
Marcus, get off the court.
That wasn't nice.
Nothing but bad news for the Iowa Stallions.
What an idiot.
Mr. Markovich, I will offer you community service. Coaching adults with intellectual disabilities.
Your Honor, we talking re-re-re-re. No boo-boo words.
Okay, you know, Woody Harrelson has been a real anomaly for me. I, you know, back in the days of Cheers and everything, I thought, yeah, okay. And then he just kind of did a lot of really weird movies. Natural Born Killers and stuff. And I just went, and he was really on my hit list. And at one time I heard that he was going to star in the Monkey Wrench Gang as Hey Duke or something. I thought, that'll ruin the movie for me. But I've kind of come around on him a little bit. I mean, he's still weird, you know, Saturday Night Live stuff.
Zombieland.
Yeah, but Zombieland has been good. And there have been quite a few roles of the three billboards where he played the sheriff.
Yeah.
He was amazing in that movie. And I have to admit, I really liked him in this movie. This isn't a great film. It's called Champions, and it's about a guy who is a basketball coach, and he's an assistant coach, you know, right
now.
In the pros. But he keeps thinking he needs to be, you know, in the NBA, and he needs to – but there's this guy that he played, you know, ball with in college and everything else who's the head coach, and he's kind of doing this guy a favor because he's just got a loud mouth, he's got an overblown ego, and the whole deal, and he's just doing nothing but damage to himself and damage to the game and damage to the, you know, to the head coach, and he finally just gets, you know, blown off the team.
But after he shoves the head coach, so
shoves
you can't
the head
do
coach,
that.
And I mean the they whole deal, and the fact that this guy, you know, didn't fire him before is a miracle. Shows, you know, how deep their friendship is. But then he's kind of licking his wounds and everything else, and he gets basically a DUI, driving while...
Literally runs into a back of a police car.
And
you're going to go away for that.
So he's got this weird lawyer. He goes, just shut up. Let me take care of it. And then he looks at the judge and he goes, oh, no, we got the hanging judge, basically.
Hanging Marie.
This woman does not like drunk drivers. Let's just put it that way.
That's fair.
And so anyway, he's there and he can't keep his mouth shut. And he's still screwing. And finally, his attorney just goes, I kind of disavow any knowledge. And so finally she said, this is what I'm going to sentence you to. And it's to be to go to one of the community centers that deals with, you know, people who have, you know, impairments,
special needs
kids. And he is going to coach them. And he just balks
out. Was it 90 days?
Yeah, 90 days. And he balks out and he goes, okay.
I'd rather go to prison.
You don't want to do that. A year and a half in a penitentiary.
What was the address
and
again?
And all of a sudden he goes, oh, well, so he goes there. And these are amazing kids, you know.
And they all are special needs.
All of them are
people.
Special needs kids. These aren't, you
You're not faking this.
That's right. And, I mean, there's all kinds of things. You know, there's this one guy who's just amazing, but he was in a car accident. We don't get the whole deal on that until later. And he was just like a prodigy when it comes to basketball. And then you this cute kid who has Down syndrome. He just describes himself as the homie with the extra chromie.
And that was the best line
just,
in the movie.
I mean, just adorable, cute, quirky, off-the-wall kids.
Yeah.
And he's trying
but
to coach
them. But they're just loving life. And
Cheech Marin is over the center.
Right.
And so he's technically the supervisor and the boss here. But what is he going to do with this team? And then we find out, because one of the opening scenes in this is he's with this woman, and they're just kind of breaking up in the morning, you know. And you kind of go, well, are they boyfriend, girlfriend? How did this come together? But, you know, it just it ends really, really weird.
Looked like a bar pickup kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. And, you know, it's described a little later on in the movie, you know, that, hey, I do this. I take care of my – and I need a little tender love and care occasionally. And so anyway – she ends up being the sister of the homie with the extra chromie.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, the way this unfolds, it is just so, I'll use your word, adorable.
Yeah.
But it is not a great movie. I mean, if you're just judging it like you would a normal film, quote unquote, but it is just so cute. These kids are so amazing, and they're sweet. And Woody Harrelson's, I'll use your term again, arc of his character in this. I have to admit, I walked out and I was really glad I saw it. And
what was the other movie we saw recently? Was it Peanut Butter Falcon or something?
Yeah, Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah. We just had one kid. Now
one
we got
kid.
A whole bunch.
Now we got a whole gaggle of them.
Now, this is also based on a Spanish film.
That's right.
From 2018.
I saw that in the end.
Yeah,
credits.
Campeones. It was almost a shot-for-shot right. remake.
Yeah. But I liked it. I mean, is it great? No. It's like a B or B-minus movie, but it's well worth seeing.
And Woody's ruggedness kind of came out in this a little bit. It kind of bugged me. You know, like he's gone back to that old Woody. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you give it?
I gave it a B minus.
We're on the same page here, Steve. This is making me
what
really...
is it rated? It's rated PG-13.
You're rated PG-13. But, you know, I mentioned this at the beginning of the program because we always have the studio folks that are waiting out in the hallway to get your take on it. And that's why they do a lot of it, especially where they have the general public come, you know, and they want feedback.
Usually comedies, they want a full audience.
Exactly. But they said, so what did you think? And I said, you know, you're just not a full tilt member of the human race if you didn't like this film.
Yeah.
But it's not great.
Exactly.
So
you're forgiving a lot of weirdness and silliness.
And a lot of little shortcomings and a lot of little, you know, that could have been done
because
better.
These kids are so cute and adorable.
Oh, they're just amazing. Just,
you run with it.
Just amazing. And it just makes you think, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, the human spirit is amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. It's called Champions. Yeah. So it's out in theaters
wide,
now.
Yeah.
Wide release.
Yeah.
The Movie Show, Quirky Pick of the Week.
Okay, Quirky Picks of
yes.
the Week. You know, Dee is being super grandma right now.
Oh.
So, but I called her and I said, no, we need you on the movie show.
I
know what you've
so
been
nice
watching.
That's so nice to hear. That's so nice to hear. Can you hear me?
Well. Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. So, Dee, what are the quirky picks for this week?
Well, you know, I actually did have a couple of things that I wanted to mention, and probably there are things. Well, one of them I know Steve talked about a few months ago that I don't know if it went to the theater. Steve, you tell me. It's called The Good Nurse, the story of Amy Lofgren.
Oh.
I think it's a Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's a Netflix original. So it stars Jessica Chastain and Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, yeah, he is chilling.
Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Doug and I watched that the other night, and we were both impressed, weren't we, Doug?
Oh, I was mesmerized. And, you know, without being creepy, he was really creepy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because he seemed like such a sweet man.
dedicated, great to her and her kids.
Dedicated, loyal friend, and oh my goodness.
I think he was a sweet man. He was just also a deviant. But this is based on a true story of a nurse that was killing people in hospitals. And I didn't re-look up the year. I want to say it was 18s or teens, 16s, maybe something like that. And this co-fellow nurse worker that brought it to light. And at the end, you know, they did that disclaimer where they give you the real story. They surmised that perhaps he had killed up to 400 people. Wrap your brain around that. Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, sometimes you hear, too, where, well, it was a mercy killing, or, you know, this poor person was suffering, and and that still doesn't obviously make it right. But he was doing it randomly.
Yeah.
You know, the way he would just, in certain drips, he would just inject something.
I'm trying to remember. He didn't just do it to people that were
lethally. It like a young mother and, you know, this like woman that was recovering, and it wasn't people
they
that
never,
were.
They never explained his purpose, Steve, and he never, at least in the explanation, he never explained why he did it either. It just truly seemed like a sick, really sick mental illness. But Jessica Chastain is wonderful, and even though we've made the movie sound, you know, not like rollicking fun, it's really worth watching. The Good Nurse. Yep. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, good call.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so then another one I'm watching that has to have a little bit, this is a series, I have Doug hooked in, my book club read the book, it's just dropped on Amazon Prime a couple of weeks ago. This is a book from 2019 by a novelist, a very well-received novelist called Taylor Jenkins Reid, and the series is called Daisy Jones and the Six. Now, this is so well done that it's almost a little bit like The Princess Bride, where people were like, was this a real story? Was this based on a real – was there something real in this? But this is a fictionalized account of a band in the 60s, and it's just really well done. But I think the real zinger in this is the gal that plays Daisy Jones is Riley Keough, who is Elvis Presley's granddaughter. And so it's a 10-part series on Amazon Prime. What do you think of it, Doug? And have you watched it, Steve?
I have.
Yeah, I really liked it. You know, I love that old rock and roll stuff. And they are, and of course, there are supposed to be ties to Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks and things like that. But it's not
it's an amalgam.
Yeah, it's not a biopic or something like that that might have been inspired by or, you know, whatever. But I love that old rock and roll stuff.
I think Claflin is just amazing in this, playing that
Jim Morrison
kind of character.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the guy that is the producer. You know, and what was his name in it? Richie something? I can't remember
I can't remember his name, but he's wonderful. But, you know, the agent or the handler, the tour manager is Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot. And it's an old rock and roll disc
jockey. Plus, if you look in the background, if you watch some of the credits, it's like Reese Witherspoon. So all these names are attached to this.
Well, and all the places, you know, the Troubadour and all those places that were just
Whiskey
legendary.
A Go-Go.
And living in Laurel Canyon, even if it's the low end, you know. So, yeah, I like
that. And the soundtrack.
Kind of fun. Yeah. Kind of fun. The music's going to be released or is released on CD, vinyl, and video. And it's, you know, the music's getting a lot of acclaim. And let me tell you, the book out in 2019 is still really hot. And one of my book groups that's full of younger women, some of our daughters, they loved it. I would say read the book, too. But, again, maybe not for everyone. There's, you know, drug use and casual sex of the 60s and certainly some, you know, vocabulary that everybody might not be up for hearing. But I think it's a wonderful series myself.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, those old recording sessions, too, are fun to watch.
They did the Sound City thing. Yeah. Isn't that what it was called?
I like the technical side of it, where you see the old boards, the old recording devices, and the old microphones and things like that.
The attention to detail is pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. It's good. And it's fun to watch Riley Keough. You find yourself going, oh, there's kind of a little bit of an Elvis look, you know, but she doesn't really look like Elvis, and she's a good singer. They all sing their own music and play their own instruments. So,
isn't she the one that's in charge of the whole Elvis? The whole Elvis Enterprises is under her name now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
in fact, the mom is trying. Yeah. Priscilla is trying to get some of it back. She's like, I don't think that was his intent to skip me, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know anything much about that, but Doug and I have been catching up on the Outer Banks, which is interesting. Our daughter really liked it. Steve, I think you weren't as crazy about this season of the Outer Banks.
Not this season, no. It seems like it's just going back and forth. I love you, I don't love you, go away, man. Shut up.
Yeah, and I'm having a hard time, you know.
Yeah,
after,
we're having a hard time connecting, aren't we?
After the dad kind of, you know, I don't want to give away too much, but you just kind of go, oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's like...
And when they go to South America to look for El Dorado, I'm like, really? Yeah. How far are we going to go with it?
We're not that far.
I'll shut up then.
So they go to South America.
But it is kind of a fun little soap opera, right? I mean, it's a fun little romp, whatever. Getting ready for the Academy, we watched The Way We Were for the Academy Awards the other night. And, you know, who cannot recognize the heartthrob that Robert Redford was in that? Just, you know, whoa.
So yeah, it was a golden era.
Man, he makes Adam Driver look like dog meat. Sorry.
Wow. Dog meat.
You know, I love it this time of year because several of the channels, TCM, FX, you know, they do oldies. The Academy Award oldies.
Yeah.
And I like that. And sometimes they do it for technical, and sometimes they'll do it for, hey, this one for artistic or whatever. Yeah. So it's not just the big headliners. They do all kinds
of
things.
Yeah, that's fun. Yep. Yeah. So we'll be watching the Academy Awards and have opinions. I bet you will, too. We'll see if there are any big moments this year, right?
Yeah, oh, boy, like last year? Holy cow. Hopefully nobody gets slapped down, you know. Or
somebody made a joke about it. They should promote it. It's like, who's going to get slapped this year?
It's a slap fest. So, yeah, who would you like to see
slapped?
You know,
I guarantee you the numbers are going to be higher just because people are going to want something weird.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Hey, Dee, thank you so much for joining
us. You're so welcome. It's a winter wonderland up here in Midway. Let me tell you, we got even more snow than you
have.
Oh,
you're up in Midway. Oh,
up in Midway. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you in a little while.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real.
On KSL News Radio.
Okay, Stephen, we need to talk about some other films.
Yeah, so there's a couple left.
Let's see. We've done Scream, 65, Champions, The Magic Flute. What about Luther, The Fallen Son, and The Quiet Girl?
Yeah.
Which
one's Academy Award nominated. The other one's just Idris Elba.
Which one do you want sound for?
Let's do The Fallen. Luther, yeah.
All right.
You promised me you could help. You know what they did to my son.
I need to stop this man. I'm still a copper.
Not anymore. And if you refuse to stand down, tactical unit will shoot you dead.
Oh, wow. This is serious.
So Luther, I haven't watched the series, but apparently he's a cop that gets things done. You know, kind of violates. So he finally, Andy Serkis is the bad guy in this, and he is horrifyingly... He is a sociopath and kills indiscriminately, like kidnaps people and they're missing for months. And then he has like this whole thing where they're, it's horrifying. He's so good at being bad that it's frightening. Luther, though, so he sets up Luther because he knows that Luther's going to come get him. He goes through all of his stuff that he's done wrong and they end up throwing him in prison. And he gets a guy, he goes, you know, I need to get out of here to go catch this guy.
Yeah.
And he sets up this whole thing where he gets a break out of prison. I mean, I thought, what?
Yeah.
So that's a little weird. But Cynthia Erivo plays the now detective that's in charge of the case. So they're both trying to get the killer, and they're trying to find Luther, who's out there running around trying to solve the case. And one guy goes, why don't you just let Luther solve the case, and then you can arrest him?
Yeah.
No, we can't do that, you know. So... it's a really good thriller. It's very intense, and some of the death scenes are pretty horrifying.
Okay.
So Luther, if you like Idris Elba, check that out.
Okay. And can we maybe quickly mention The Quiet Girl?
Yeah, The Quiet Girl is actually an Irish film, but it's in the international film category as Best Picture. And it does have that kind of a weird... I don't know what to call it, some kind of Irish, not a brogue, because it's not English.
Yeah, it's
but there's
Gaelic
like a Celtic.
Yeah,
Gaelic maybe is the right, I don't know.
Celtic.
So it's about a young girl who lives with her family, and they are terrible to her. She's like the middle child. They call her the quiet girl because they pay attention to all the kids, but she just gets, you know.
Yeah.
And so they decide to let her go live with an aunt for the summer. And she begins to blossom, and she's actually quite brilliant when you see. And then she's supposed to go back at the end of the summer to this house, and you're like, oh, please don't make her go back.
Yeah,
it is a just a a movie that'll have you in tears. I watched this one and Close the same day, and I was I went through a box of Kleenex. It was just that weepy. It is so good.
Wow.
It's called The Quiet Girl. It's playing only at the Broadway, and it is up for an Academy Award for Best International Picture.
Okay.
Back to Doug Wright, Steve Sales, and the KSL Movie Show.
Okay, Steven, so we don't get this too close to news, we probably ought to do a little telephone torture here. A chance to win fabulous prizes worth up to dollars from our friends at the Megaplex Theater.
Two.
Two.
Can we do two?
I just sent that message out, and Steve got it with no verbal exchange at all.
And I sent the message back.
It's amazing. All right, KSL Talk is the number. And if you are caller number two, you will be the big wiener of two tickets to the Megaplex Theater,
yep,
tub of popcorn, and two drinks for you to enjoy while you're seeing the movie of your choice. So, Steven.
Yes.
We first go to the phone line and find out who our one, our only...
This must kill you.
...loser is going to be today.
Because you love doing this.
I know, I do. This is kind of the dark side of Doug.
Yes.
I mean, this angelic face, this sweet spirit that
right,
I am.
Right, sure, that's it.
He's not buying this. All right, let's go and find out. Let's talk to this loser. Hi, who's this?
This is John.
John! John,
how you doing, guys?
Dear, dear John.
John, you're the first caller. But
oh, that's better than being first caller.
The first shall be last today.
Shall and be flushed.
So I want you to embrace what you really are at this moment.
I am definitely a loser.
Ah, there we go. Gustavo, push the button.
I'm a loserizer?
He's a loserizer. Yeah.
Is that it?
I think that's it. We're on a budget. You know?
Yeah.
We spare no expense.
Literally
on this show. So, and now we go back to the phone line, and this person, you know, if they behave, they're going to be a big wiener. Well, they don't have to behave. They're on the
There's
movie
a citizenship
show.
Award
no,
here?
No, no. There's Miss Congeniality. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Am I a big wiener?
You ought to be
a big wiener.
Wiener. You truly are. Yep, you are.
Hey.
And what is your name?
It's your favorite listener, Donna.
Donna, you have won fabulous.
I haven't been able to get through in a long time.
Well, that's because we have your phone rigged. We sent the FBI out and the CIA, and they took care of you.
Wow.
Oh, man, I snuck around them today. Wasn't that a great thing?
Hey, it is a great thing because you've won two tickets to the Megaplex Theaters. You've won a drink for yourself and whomever you are going to take to the movie.
I thought you were shortening the prize.
Yeah, that's our
one drink to split.
One drink that you could share. Two straws. No, you got two full drinks.
Times are tough.
That's right. And you get a tub of popcorn, tickets, the whole deal. But there's one little chore that you need to do before we can bestow those fabulous prizes upon you, and I'm sure you know what it is.
I need to listen to some Blue Eyes for those losers.
Yeah, that's it.
How do you listen to Eyes?
Well, if you have a sixth sense.
Not a fifth sense?
Or the... Steve Short changed the senses the other day.
I edited it out a little bit.
He renamed the movie The Fifth Sense, and somehow that just did not work. Well, there you have it. A big thanks to our friends at the Megaplex Theaters and Donna, you are a big wiener.
Glad you got through.
There we go. Okay, Steven, let's talk Oscars.
Okay.
Okay, as you look at the Oscar nominations, and we have the longer list now, I still think it's going to be Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's what our cadre of film critics chose. But do you have kind of a second? I wish it was Top Gun. If they were just going for a crowd pleaser, I wish it was Top Gun.
Well, I have a will and a might and a should.
Oh, what a shoulda, coulda, huh?
My will is Everything Everywhere.
Yeah.
The might could be All Quiet on the Western Front. 9 nominations. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
And the should is Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, Top Gun. Best director. You know, I always kind of get torn because I go, well, if it was the best picture, maybe it ought to be the best director too, because they ultimately hold all the reins.
Well, here's the key. If it wins the Directors Guild Award, 66 out of the last 74 years, it has gone to that winner. The Daniels have won the Directors Guild Award. So you'd be dumb to pick anyone else other than, although Todd Field might, no, it's, they don't have a chance. I'm just going to go with the Daniels.
All right, the Daniels. Yeah, I don't think anybody else has a chance, honestly, either. Best Actress is interesting. You know, Cate Blanchett was amazing in Tar, but it's such a weird movie and so weird. I just think that that's kind of throwing her a nomination bone. Who do you think will really win?
Well, the odds are two of the big major awards have gone to Cate.
Yeah.
But two of them have also gone to Michelle Yeoh. The odds-on favorites say that Cate is going to win, but
really?
Who might and who should? Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh. Okay. What about Best Actor? I know a lot of people. I mean, if I were to ask Dion this, she'd probably go Austin Butler. Brendan Fraser seemed about 4 months ago to be the buzz was all around him. But, you know, what do you
think? Here's the background on this one. In the last 13 years, all the Best Actors have come from Best Pick nominees. So this year, that would include Austin and would include Colin Farrell, mm-hmm. Brendan Fraser. But I think it will be Austin Butler. It might be Brendan Fraser. But for me, I think Colin Farrell should. But that's just personal.
It was an amazing performance, an understated performance, you know, in that. That was a quiet little weird
I know,
movie.
But he's been around so long, it'd be sweet.
Best Supporting Actress. What do you think on this one? If I were just going to go again for the crowd pleaser, I'd probably go Angela Bassett, you know, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. But again, Everything Everywhere All at Once, they've got two chances, but will they cancel each other out?
I think it will be Jamie Lee Curtis, but I think it might and should be Angela Bassett.
Yeah, I agree on that. Best Supporting Actor, you know, Brendan Gleeson was so good in The Banshees of Inisherin. And, you know, but it's so weird. I kept going, who's really the best actor here? Because they kind of had equal roles. But I guess Colin Farrell was kind of at the spear tip.
If there's a slam dunk this year, it's this one. It will be Ki Hui Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah. He won the SAG, won the Critics' Choice Award, won the Golden Globes. That would be the sweep.
Yeah. And let's see, we just have a second here. So animated feature, I'm going Puss in Boots, but I also like Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
It'll be Pinocchio.
Yeah, Pinocchio. What about Marcel, you know, the shell? Everybody really, really liked that.
It might be. I mean, I have Will and Should as Pinocchio, but Might is the next one. Marcel, the shell with shoes on.
Okay. Hey, that does it for the movie show. We've had a great time here. Thanks to all of you for tolerating the movie show every week. We love being with you. Tonight, when you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.